This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 59. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
Dave, Joe, and Mike, hello.
Yo.
Yo.
So apparently there's news, or there's been news, we just never... And people know this, we don't cover news when it first comes out, because that's boring.
I like to wait until there's like a plethora of things that are actually important.
Yes. And the first thing in my mind that was sort of important was the Kids' Choice Awards trailer for The Last Knight. When I first saw it, I'm like, this is the worst edited put-together trailer I have ever seen.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, the reason why I say that is the first few shots in it, the reason why I say I think it's poorly edited cut, or it's a poorly put-together trailer cut, is because... I thought the kid that was in there was like this pop-out kind of kid that wasn't actually in the movie that I've got since gone back and rewatched it. But when I first saw it, I thought that they just put a kid in there in front of the footage just because it was the Kids' Choice Awards trailer. I didn't realize she's actually part of the damn story.
Uh-huh.
And, Michael Bay, what are you doing?
Well, it could be worse.
No, I think he's pretty much, you know, I'm just waiting for whatever upshot angle with his camera that he's going to use on that girl, which is sad and wrong and disgusting.
They won't. It's a littler girl, so they won't.
I don't know.
They're bringing back Agent Simmons anyway, so.
Oh, God.
And the two military Epps and...
Epps and...
The other guy that's not important.
Yeah.
And Jaeger.
Hey, yeah.
Cade Jaeger.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that took Michael Bay to come up with. And the writers. Do some Jaeger. Cade of Jaeger. A Jaeger.
Who is writing on this one? Because I don't even know. I know it's not Aaron Kruger.
No, they fired him. I actually don't know. I'm having to look it up right now.
But I saw this trailer and I'm like, I just can't anymore.
All right, here it goes. The screenplay is done by Art Markham, Matt Holloway, and Ken Nolan. And the story is by Akiva Goldsmith.
Okay. Nobody I've ever heard of.
Akiva, I've heard of. Art Markham was a writer on Iron Man.
Okay.
Punisher Warzone. Apparently, he's going to be writing Transformers 6, 7, and 8.
The problem is, though,
Hold on. It's a part of the same think tank. So, Matt Holloway, who is known for, as well, Iron Man, Punisher Warzone, and Transformers 5, 6, 7, 8. And Ken Nolan, who's done Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
And Transformers 5, 6, 7, 8. And Akiva Goldsmith.
You already said him.
No, that's the last one I named. He's done... let me see where he's a writer. He's done the story for The Last Knight, but he's done... like Insurgent, I Am Legend, iRobot, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever. Jonah Hex, three bombs right there. Three Paranormal Activities.
God, that's six bombs.
Mask. There's a Mask program coming.
movie, probably. Yeah,
I'll get into that in a minute. Yeah. He's an executive producer for one episode on the pilot of Star Trek Discovery, which has had nothing but problems.
That show's never gonna. That show's gonna be held up for years. That show's gonna. We'll be on our deathbeds when Star Trek Discovery comes out.
Well, funny enough, they just cast their captain, and it's Harry Potter's Malfoy. Malfoy's dad on the thing. Uh-huh. So, but anyways, so, Akiva's doing Transformers 5,
uh-huh.
Bumblebee, and 7 and 8.
Okay.
So
here's the problem I have with Michael Bay movies and him actually hiring writers.
He didn't when do he, it. Hasbro did it. Hasbro has a giant think tank now.
Okay, and that's fine. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. Even though Hasbro was supposed to be the big boss, as soon as Michael Bay gets his hands on a microphone and gets his ass in that director's chair, it's whatever the fuck he wants. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just what it is. It's whatever he wants. Damn the story. Because there's so many times that I've seen him hire writers that write a decent story, and he goes back in and changes something to screw it all up.
He's not actually allowed to do that now, because of the...
Let's hope not.
Well, because of the whole think tank with Hasbro. They have this certain direction they're wanting to go, and so that's what's going to happen. So anyways... John Goodman will be back. Anthony Hopkins will be in it. Stanley Tucci, who was in the last one, who created the Rubik's Cube Transformers.
Yes.
Josh Duhamel, who was Lennox.
Lennox Knapps, yeah.
Yep. And then John Turturro's Agent Simmons. Ken Watanabe is going to be Drift again.
Yeah.
John DiMaggio's Crosshairs, Frank Welker's Megatron, who actually looks like a Megatron.
Finally.
Yes, I know. well, they had to give him a new look so Welker could come back and do it right.
Yeah.
Peter Cullen is Optimus Prime. He's like way down there on the credits list, though. But he's not, you know, Welker's got a higher bracket than him. Jess Harnell's Barricade again. Yeah, and then they've got
well, I think most of those they have to, because it's a Transformers live action movie, they have to get in the billing, they have to get all the actual live action actors. Yeah, they have to get the faces out there first and then the voices.
So I mean, it's not going to be terrible. It compared to like the last two.
Yeah,
or last three. I mean, yeah. three wasn't that bad, but 2 and 4 were terrible.
Yeah.
It's
turning into a Star Trek thing.
Except the even numbers are crap.
Yeah.
Granted, the rebooted Trek, the even numbers are crap, so I guess it kind of goes. So kind of jumping ship there. Transformers Robots in Disguise. The complete second season is on Netflix. And the 2.5 season is actually listed as season 3, and it's now on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually watch everything that's out to this date so far, and I know that there's like another season coming.
Yeah, they'll probably never... Robots in Disguise will probably hit 4 or 5 seasons, maybe. You know, that's just the way it kind of goes, and then they'll, you know, a couple of years down the line, they'll say, "Oh, we've got to update, we've got to change, we've got to."
Funny you should say that.
Do something.
Because like they're gonna do the Combiner Force thing next, but funny you mean should...
in RID they're doing the Combiner Wars.
Combiner Force. They're gonna whatever. Yeah. So. Yeah, there's been some rumors floating around, and I think I may have brought that up with Kilby on, but I'm not entirely sure. But there's an interesting set of silhouettes on Divi and art titled "New Dino Transformers."
Okay.
Basically, nothing is known about the project except that this particular artist has permission to post the teaser now. So nobody knows whether it's a new IDW-led project or a Hasbro initiative. And funny enough, I've heard rumblings that there may be a new Beast Wars cartoon coming.
That would be interesting.
Like a totally new Beast Wars cartoon.
Yeah, that would be interesting. As long as they get certain voice actors back.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that. Well, if it's going to be totally new, there'd be no point. Like saying that if it's none of the same people. But what I've read so far is that there's a rumor that there was a story claiming that Beast Wars is scheduled to make a return in late 2018 as a Netflix animated series. Which I would be behind that if Netflix did them, because Cartoon Network ruins everything they touch.
Yeah.
It says Marvel Comics writer Jason Aaron is said to be the scripter for the series, and a character list is given, though given some of these characters, one has to assume that this is all new continuity and not some kind of continuation of the original, which is, you know, inevitable because Beast Machines.
Mm-hmm.
But it says the 11 characters are listed as follows. Optimus Prime, Megatron, Rat Trap, Ravage, Scorponok, Cheetor, Black Arachnia, Terrorsaur, Inferno, Rhinox, and Magmatron.
So Optimus Prime instead of Optimus Primal?
Possibly. And then there's That's Megatron.
It's going to be weird for having the truck as a monkey.
I don't know if it'll actually be this.
I know.
But yeah. It's stuck with me, and I'm like, please, if this is going to be something. That essentially would mean that all the Maximals are there, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Predacons from the original start would be there. I mean, if you counted Terrorsaur, Inferno, and Scorponok, and then Ravage, which would kind of replace Tarantulas.
Yeah.
And then Magmatron is kind of his own tyrant.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder who he would have. And I think he would probably have, like, Ravage and, like, Terrorsaur. And I think Scorponok and Inferno would be Megatron's. But you'd still have, like, a Primal Rat Trap, Rhinox, Cheetor, Black Arachnia, maybe. So, who knows? I would be happy if they did this, only for the fact that now that they're kind of going into the Beast Wars realm a little bit, especially with the Masterpiece Dinobot coming.
Yep.
Which would be the first time Dinobot would get an actual figure that's good. And just like the Cheetor figure, which, don't get me wrong, I really want, but it's $75. And I don't have $75. So if it comes down to it, Megatron would be the only one I would splurge for. Don't get me wrong, too, though, Dinobot is really tempting. And having the entire Maximal grid. But, yeah, I just... I really like the Masterpiece Beast Wars stuff. Really, really, really like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks awesome.
So, yeah. And then, so there's been talks, too, that... and I saw this, too, around the same time. There's a web series running in Russia. Which is called Transformers Portal. And this web series kicked off last September and is currently on its 7th episode as a motion comic.
Okay.
And it's a crossover between the Robots in Disguise and Generations Titans Return timelines.
Oh, okay.
So, looks pretty sweet from what I've seen on there.
Cool. I'm not sure about... I think it'd be great if, you know, we had a new Beast Wars cartoon. But again, I'm very leery of new voice actors in what are now considered to be classic character roles. You know, I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to wait and see whatever happens. But if they're going to go the beast former way, I would want David Kaye as Megatron.
If not, I want to do it.
Well, yeah, but
I'm like the John Bailey equivalent of him to Peter Cullen. I am to David Kaye.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that, you know.
I would do Megatron in a heartbeat.
That sounds dirty, yes. Kinky, and wrong.
It could be. On a nice Sunday afternoon.
God.
On the beach in Texas.
Yes. Yeah, that's not happening.
It could be the desert. No one knows for sure. There would be plenty of tarantulas and scorponok around, though.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then.
Too dirty for my tastes, but it's doable. Anyways, I have no idea. I didn't even know this thing was going on, though. I guess Transformers Power of the Primes?
Mm-hmm.
I totally missed this.
The game?
No, it's not even a game. It was a thing on Transformers.com.
Oh, they
voted on the new Prime or the new person to hold the Matrix, and then they had Ultra Magnus, Hound, RC, Shockwave, Megatron, Star Saber, Thunderwing, Unknown Evil, which is Deathsaurus from one of the other Transformers Victory, and then Optimus Primal. And Optimus Primal 1. And, I mean, of course, they've created, like, a new beast planet for, you know, those Transformers and gave him kind of a newish look. Like, he doesn't look like Beast Wars, essentially, but he looks like, you know, the modernized, like, if he were, you know, quasi-transmetal, in a sense. I really love the look of the character. I wouldn't mind seeing a figure of that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I like the little graphic that it says that the winner of the next Prime, but I don't know exactly what the purpose of it was.
Yeah, I a lot of these transfer, like, look, folks, I'm pretty much one of the reasons why we're doing Origins on ATTF for the most part is to go back and get other people's stories at this point. And that's another reason, other than the fact that Steve likes to gather up a bunch of news and talk about it, you know, months later. But if we didn't do this, I haven't paid attention to Transformers news in at least 2.5 years. Like, whenever the last movie was, what, 2014 or whatever, you know?
But it's just 2015, I think, but
whatever. But I'm just saying, like, there. Yes, we have rescue bots. Yes, we have robots in disguise. But I'm not paying attention to either one of those two cartoon series. You know, I'm just now getting back into catching up on the Transformers comics from IDW. Because I'm not following toys, I'm not following the Transformers toy releases. And it's just like, I don't know, it's not that I feel like I've lost... It's not that I feel like I'm lost in the fandom. It just feels like there's nothing other than the comics. There's nothing for me that's going to make me want to dedicate time to it. Like when Transformers Prime was out, when Transformers Animated was out, and Transformers Animated at this point is 10 years old, you know, I was super interested. And of course, back then I had an actual television with actual cable. And of course, I can find the stuff online now, like you just said. At this point, all 3 or 2.5 or whatever you want to call it seasons are now on Netflix, which I checked it once you said. I didn't doubt you, but I just wanted to double check and make sure that it, you know, because sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. But they are there. And now that all 3 of them are there for Robots in Disguise, I will go back and watch them. But I'm not paying attention to Transformers news as much as I used to on a daily, weekly basis.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I gather up. I actually make a folder of my favorites, and then I just gather up as many as I can kind of get my hands on. as far mm-hmm. as the content. And it's all stuff that I care about, so...
Well, yeah.
I skip a lot of the rumor mill, and I mean, other than the Beast Wars thing, because that hits home. You know, like, especially this thing with the Power of the Primes thing, like, I'm kind of wondering what they're going to do with it. Because I like Beast Wars. So, yeah. And then, of course, the Masterpiece figures. I'm really hoping Megatron shows up soon. I'm assuming they're going to do a Rhinox. But I'm hoping because they came out with a really good Rhinox for the 30th and a Rat Trap. That would be in scale, almost.
Yeah.
With the Primal and the Cheetor and the Dinobot. So I'm almost hoping that they go with Megatron and start with the Predacons. Yeah, there's some awesome Masterpiece accessories that are floating around the interwebs from Japanese retailers, like TF Source. They mm-hmm. have an Extreme Set pop-up diorama of the Control Center set of the Ark. And the Decepticon headquarters. And it's like $35. And then it's like these like cardboard setup, and you build the like the main computer console for Teletran 1.
Cool.
And so it's like a whole like it's like a it says it's over 10 feet wide when you fold it out. And it's 1 foot tall. So it would easily fit with your Masterpiece figures.
That's awesome.
So I thought that was really neat. And it's fully detailed, like the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Decepticon one is the same way. Nice that Decepticon purple and everything. Cool. Yeah, it's and it's gold for the the orangey gold for the Autobots. It's very, very much like the show. And then, of course, they've come out with a new Masterpiece Megatron MP36, the orange barrel gun cap.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually made this Megatron look show accurate, unlike the previous Masterpiece one that came out that rusted. And this one, you can actually change the head and the chest to give him the battle damage from Transformers the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it has lights and sounds, too. Vocal voice quotes and sounds attached to Megatron's arm with his scope. So, yeah.
Very cool.
If I could afford that, I would have it. But it's like $250.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, he's got his Energon mace. He's got his control helmet. He's got, like, three different faces. His pistol that he shot Prime with. The key to the plasma energy chamber, which shows up in Beast Machines. His Energon sword. And looks like another piece to like his mace, but it's pretty slick. So there's one, I don't know, have you ever, I doubt it, but have you ever seen anything on Transformers Earth Wars?
No. That's the mobile game?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I don't do mobile.
So, actually, they're coming out tomorrow with the ability to change factions, finally. So, it's been out since last year, about this time. And I jumped on board in probably about late June. And have been hooked with the game since. Obsessively so. It's to the point, like, because you can get 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, and now they've just opened up 5-star characters. I have no 4-star or 5-star, but because they're extremely difficult to get. But I have 2-star and 3-star, like Galvatron and Megatron and Starscream and Scourge and all this, you know, like the Thundercracker, Skywarp. A lot of those kind of characters, Cyclonus. So it's been pretty fun to play, and I have like four squads of Decepticons, but the ability to add Autobots now is going to be pretty slick. I had Deathsaurus too, and Nemesis Prime. So it's
sweet.
I've enjoyed the game, but there's a new game coming, rolling out April 5th, and it's a generational game called Transformers Forged to Fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Peter Cullen and Frank Welker doing their characters respectively again in it. And mm-hmm. the graphics are pretty decent, and it's mixing generations together. So you could get, you know, like Combiner Wars with Titans Return, with Generation 1, with Beast Wars, with the Movieverse. Because the only Beast Wars character they show so far is Rhinox, transforming in the game. And they've got, like, you know, Generation 1 Grimlock, and then they've got characters from, you know, Rid or War, you know, War for Cybertron, or but they almost get like this weird like the hate plague.
Oh jeez.
Because like they start going bad, and then like you have to fight. You get like to build your teams and build bases and everything, but you build a team of your favorite Transformers, and so like you could end up with G1, Starscream, you know, Movie Prime, Movie Bumblebee, Rhinox, and just so on. So that's the one complaint I have about the Earth Wars game, is they don't have any Beast Wars figures yet. Because they've kind of exhausted a lot of the... I mean, there's still a lot of room they can go, but they've kind of exhausted a lot of the G1 characters.
Yeah.
And so, like, this Forge to Fight is actually pretty neat. So I'm going to check that out when that comes out and review it, but...
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, no, I have a dumb phone. I use my phone for calling people and texting people. I don't use it for anything else other than that.
You have Windows 10. You can download the app.
I am... No. No, 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 no.
Come on.
No.
You only need a mouse to play.
No.
Come on.
No. That'd be like strangling the cat.
Do it for your country.
Right.
If you don't, no one else will.
I'm going to Canada.
See ya. Skype don't work there.
Yes, it does.
I know.
It works funky, but it works.
It's Canadian Skype.
A.
America Junior. So, I also saw this other kind of goofy article, and I'm not sure. I'm going to go through the list of it. It says the 15 craziest Transformers fan theories.
Oh, Lord. Is this from CBR?
No, this is a Screen Rant.
Oh, okay.
They're actually credible.
Okay. Yeah.
CBR is like the site that posts everything, and not everything is news. Kind of like CNN.
I like comic book resources, but sometimes their news articles are not news.
Like CNN.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's fake news, because it's not fake news, but they advertise it as news, and then you click on the article, and it's not, like...
It's not fake news, it's clickbait.
Yeah, well, and I know this is a tangent, this has nothing to do with Transformers, but I'll bring it back up. It's one of those things where I've said for years, ever since I've been on the show with you, for me, film locations are not news stories. The fact that Michael Bay is going to be in Detroit destroying buildings is not a news story to me.
That's like as bad as saying Michael Bay crapped his pants today on South Southern Boulevard, and someone had to bring him a diaper.
Talk about shooting for the wallet.
He shot for the colon.
Ew. No, I am not juicing on that one.
You're the one that said juicing. I would have never used that phrase.
Hey, it's been 25 years since Sonic came out. Anyway, CBR earlier posted, this is earlier in the week, they posted a news story on Facebook about Cable being in Deadpool. And I thought it was going to be some sort of something to do with Cable being in Deadpool. Half of the article is giving us a history of the character of Cable. And I'm like, where's the news? This is not news.
Here's the garbage. Now the news.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to go through this list because...
Go ahead.
I just want to hear your opinion on it, and then I'll give my opinion on it.
Okay.
Because I found it to be... I'm sitting here like... Some of it I'm scratching my head. So... It says that they've searched through the vast catalog of Transformers lore, studied the message boards and the various Wikipedia entries, and come up with the most convoluted, bizarre, and a couple of mildly reasonable explanations and rumors about the franchise. Not all of them are true. Some of them are retcon true, and some of them are just fun. It says, for your reading, the aesthetic's pleasure, the 15 craziest Transformers fan theories. Number 15 is Waspinator has an immortal spark.
I could agree to that.
Because they state that there isn't a character who has taken quite as many or as creatively brutal beatings as Waspinator. describe a TF Wiki as Fate's chew toy. yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I mean, you know, Waspinator has been through a lot. Waspinator, you know, has gotten blown up, chewed on, stomped, thrashed, crashed, all kinds of stuff. So I can agree to that one.
Because it never actually officially says it, that he's immortal. Mm-hmm. They only state that Starscream and Rampage have an immortal spark.
Yeah.
But I would almost argue that Waspinator does, just for the amount of crap that's happened to him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at the guy as a guy that's been beaten down for God knows how long, and then at the end of the series, he's like, no, Waspinator, not follow Megatron, or whatever he says, and, you know, he goes...
to Quill!
Yeah.
I'm not follow you, some Commander Kissbutt!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and he takes over the humans, and then he gets bored, and he ends up shooting off to Cybertron and becomes an emo motorcycle.
Who is so much cooler.
Yeah, I know.
Until he was, like, you know, Thrustinator at the end.
Yep. That was
funny. So, number 14. Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus are brothers.
That does not surprise me at all.
This is, now, mind you, this is fan theory, but they said that this is the least insane theory on the list. It's also one that has been proven true, at least on accident. Says when the Ultra Magnus toy came out in the 80s, his armored exterior masked an interior that was literally just a white Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the pair's connection was that of close friends, but was never elaborated on. In the Dreamwave comics and Robots in Disguise animated series, for instance, the 99 version, Hasbro and the creatives at work integrated the concept because of the incendials of the toy and because of fans' ready acceptance of the idea. So, yes, it's true that Optimus Prime and Magnus are brothers in certain continuities.
Yeah, the only one that I know of currently that they're not is the IDW comics because... in that, Magnus, it's just armor. There's a butt, like, the guy we see from More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise from day one from the two IDW ongoings, he is Ultra Magnus, but later he is revealed to be a bot by the name of Minimus Ambus. And the Ultra Magnus armor is just armor, but his personality, the Ultra Magnus personality is who Minimus Ambus is. But yeah, no, in general, you know, in a general theory standpoint of Optimus and Magnus, look at what the dude said on his deathbed, Ultra Magnus, it's to you, old friend. You know, I mean...
Well, in IDW, they actually had his armor get shattered.
Yeah, I know.
And in the Dreamwave, and he had the white armor and fought with Prime against Shockwave. So, and then they just called him Magnus when he didn't have the armor.
Yeah.
Number 13, the many possible fates of Dion.
Who?
Dion.
I'll repeat. Who?
It was in the episode with Orion Pax.
On Prime?
G1.
Oh.
At the beginning of the Great War between the Autobots and Decepticons, Orion Pax and his girlfriend Ariel were friends with fellow dock worker Dion.
Oh, okay. Him. They were
attacked by the cons and left for dead. Trion built Prime out of Pax and Ariel into Alita 1, but what happened to Dion? And they said the easiest answer is, who cares? The guy had three lines of dialogue in his one appearance. Easiest answer is he died in that ghoul Alpha Trion cannibalized him for spare parts to create Prime and Alita. It says, however, many fans have speculated that he was rebuilt into either Ultra Magnus or Ironhide, which would further explain Prime's strong friendship with either robot. I would almost argue, like, I like to think that he was Ironhide. I like to think that. I didn't say
maybe,
he was.
Maybe. I'll go with maybe. The reason why I say maybe is because we've seen Alita maybe twice in the G1 series, like after Ariel's rebuilt. You know, we had, I think, two female Autobot-centric episodes. I could be wrong, but I remember at least one where they go back and have to get the Energon from Shockwave or whatever else. But because Alita wasn't really around, I don't know.
It says, since continuity of the show was virtually non-existent, fans speculated for decades, inciting by different creators planning the odd Easter egg now and again, until Hasbro's 20-year backlog of confused and angry fan mail got too much. They gave a terse response: Dian was never rebuilt into any character. So he died, so take it. Who became Scourge and Cyclonus?
Oh no, here we go.
This is what I've always believed anyway, so this kind of works out with my opinion. So I'll let you...
No, carefully. You go ahead. You go ahead, because I have to find something.
Yeah, it's, So it's been a clearly necessary long-running debate in the fandom. It says those involved have looked over the scene, checking angles, character positioning, and shadows, analyzing the film like they were on the Warren Commission investigating the Zapruder footage, is what it says on here. I like to believe that Thundercracker became Scourge and Bombshell became Cyclonus, which is what they state here, and Skywarp became a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my general consensus too, is what they have.
Right.
And it says, and as Skywarp became one of the sweeps, but no one really cares about Skywarp.
There are plenty of people that do care about Skywarp.
My brother was one of them.
Yeah.
He loved Skywarp. My other brother liked Thundercracker, and I liked Starscream, so it kind of worked out.
Let's go back 7 years, because I wrote a blog post about this whole damn thing.
I vaguely remember.
In the image, okay, so basically going off of, and I should probably update this with the new 30th anniversary version with these, you know, with new pictures, but in the image, when they first show them, you got from left to right, Kickback, Thundercracker, and Shrapnel. Then you get all five shown. Thundercracker equals Scourge, Shrapnel / Kickback equal the sweeps, Bombshell and Skywarp equal Cyclonus and his armada. That's what I surmised 7 years ago.
Which is the same thing.
Yeah, yes, because Bombshell clearly turns into the main body of Cyclonus.
So we actually learned how to speak. yes.
Finally, after all this time, Bombshell can speak English.
So getting back to the next one in this, the many origins of Tarantulas. Anything Beast Wars, we pretty much know, but I'll go through their thing anyway. It says, because there's no specific origin, it says, after being revealed as a member of the Cybertron Shroni in Secret Police, Tarantulas also mentions that he and the Triparticus Council aren't descended from Autobots or Decepticons. So their existence wouldn't be altered by Megatron destroying the Ark following one of his many patented and insane plans, betrayals, and angry Megatron throws him, calls him Unicron Spawn. So it creates continuity issues. However, it was meant as an insult as well, because it says series creators Larry DiTilio and Bob Ford never had a direct idea for the spider's origin. Had Beast Wars continued for another season rather than be replaced by the Beast Machines. The writers claim that Tarantulas and the Council might have been revealed as being descended from the Cybertronian offshoots from Generation 2, which would create its own continuity problems as well.
Ew.
So they would have been from, like, the Swarm and the Generation 2 Cybertronian alliance.
Nothing to do with Generation 2, thank you very much.
Well, the actual comic of Generation 2 was actually pretty good.
That's fine, but if you're talking about that green and red cartoon series, hell no.
It never existed.
Exactly.
Female Transformers were created to appease feminist demands.
Oh no, do we really have to talk about this?
This is one of the rumors or fan theories. It says craziest fan theories, so...
I know.
Because it says that they were introduced all at once in the cartoon and the comics, because there was only male robots. And it says... You know, obviously, they don't sexually reproduce, so it wasn't really a point. So it's one of the crazy theories. I'm scanning this, but...
Yeah, I really honestly have no opinion on female Transformers. They exist. They're there.
It says no one seemed to care about gendered Transformers except for Hasbro itself, who just wanted to sell toys. So, yeah, they created RC, Chromia, Wingblade, Black Arachnia. Michael Bay's Transformers are human creations from the future.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, it says, well, now you know who to blame for those terrible designs. It was us. We did it. You maniacs, you blew it up.
Yeah.
So they're doing, like, the Planet of the Apes joke with it. But, yeah, so many jokes that Transformers can travel through time. At some point, Cybertron and all the Allspark were transported to the past and the latter device falling to the Earth. The Autobots then go search the planet for it, explaining why they had been on the planet for thousands of years already. Which, I... think that it's just a crappy series that with aliens that came to Earth.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
Number 8. G1 cartoon Galvatron was cured of his insanity by the Matrix.
Oh, Lord. We just were talking about Web World.
It says in the 86 movie, Rodimus tossed Galvatron into space where he landed in a plasma pool. Web World. It's actually funny because he does shoot everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy is for cowards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying when Prime released the concentrated wisdom that was stored in the Matrix to cure the universe of the hate plague, Galvatron was at ground zero of the release. Shortly after, he and Optimus, share a pleasant moment, and then Galvatron...
Well, he says, there will be no war today, Optimus Prime. You have earned Galvatron's respect.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then Rebirth happens. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
It didn't happen. It wasn't in continuity.
Rebirth is in continuity. Stop it.
I like season 4 better.
Rebirth is season 4.
No, I mean the real season 4, Headmasters.
Oh, hell no.
Yes, that's so much better. They actually do away with characters properly. Like, they actually kill Magnus. They actually kill off Galvatron. They actually kill off Soundwave and Blaster and then rebuild them.
Yeah.
So here's number 7. An unproduced Beast Wars episode called Dark Glass explained Dinobot 2's character arc. If anyone knows that one, it would be me.
Yeah,
I've been involved in a lot of stuff with Dark Glass. Many scripts, many.
Yes.
So
it's one very important one we still cannot talk about.
Yeah. What script?
Exactly.
So I was involved in a fan one as well, which some things weren't that far off. So Dinobot 2 was created by Megatron to replace the original dead Dinobot who betrayed him. In the series finale, Dinobot 2 betrayed Megatron again after his original programming was somehow reasserted, which didn't make sense for those that, you know, didn't see Dark Glass because it was never produced. But Christy Marks meant to have it take place when Go With The Flow was at.
Yeah.
And so it would have explained how it all was to fit together. These guys say a synopsis for the episode has made the rounds on the internet, but Hasbro never released the script to the public, and those involved in its production have made contradictory statement about it for years. The story called for Rattrap and Rhinox finding the Dinobot's core consciousness in the Axelon's computer, which he downloaded in a previous episode, which it does show Dinobot do that in Code of a Hero. Or, no. He does it when he's about to switch sides.
Yeah.
When he traitors back to the Predacons temporarily.
Yeah.
So this is Rattrap captures Dinobot 2 and attempts to restore his friend and his new body. It doesn't go well, and he's forced to accept that Dinobot is dead. Of course, you know, even in the story, there's continuity gaps. I will say this, at least from the fan production version, that actually in both, that kind of goes that direction. That's pretty much the same in every version.
Yeah.
In the fan version, because I like to talk about Dark Glass because it's never going to happen. The thing with Rat Trap was he attempts to restore Dinobot, and there's an internal struggle mentally, which is why it's Dark Glass. Because it's Dinobot's core consciousness fighting with the spark of Rampage.
Yeah.
And the programming of Megatron.
Right.
So you have the three kind of fighting all inside Dinobot's head. And so from time to time, he's able to snap out and talk to Rattrap. But eventually ends up blasting Rhinox and Rattrap and scurrying away. Also, in this particular set episode, Megatron was experimenting with Transmetal 2 technology, and experimented on Waspinator before he did Black Arachnia, or before he created, you know, after he created the clone, basically, of Dinobot, and before Black Arachnia got her hands on it.
Right.
And it was like a shell, more so. In other words, it was like an armor of Transmetal 2, but it wouldn't actually stick. And then also this is where Megatron would have devised his virus that he takes to beast machines.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of things going on, but like this essentially means that when Rampage's spark was extinguished, Dinobot's core consciousness was able to surface and take over completely, which is why he traded and had his honor and everything else. So it's not far off.
Nope.
Here's the next one. Brawn dies, lives, and becomes a Decepticon, sort of.
So Brawn died in the movie. He appears in a season 3 episode
Dark Awakening.
Yep.
In the Autobot Crypt. Oh, he was not seen in the Autobot Crypt.
Yeah, he was not seen in the Autobot Crypt, but there is an episode. I think it's Webworld. It might be another one, I don't remember, but there is an episode where I specifically saw Brawn fighting in one of the Rodimus Galvatron battles.
Well, it says thanks to Acom's error-laden animation, Brawn would appear several times after his death in wordless action scenes, sometimes even fighting for the Decepticons alongside both the Combaticons and Verticus, which they combined to create. And it says, well, that's more of a joke than a theory. You could make the argument that Braun was a traitor all along. In the cartoon, he was extremely gung-ho against the Decepticons to the point of protesting too much and even trying to get the other Autobots to believe Mirage was a traitor. In the movie, perhaps he leaked the shuttle location to Megatron and was shot in the shoulder while the others were killed to help keep his cover, which he eventually abandoned when Megatron was killed during the battle. I like that theory, but I know that it's BS. It's just animation problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it's still a good theory. Another Michael Bay one. I'm going to skip it. Teletran 1 was destroyed to spite Casey Kasem. He was the voice of Cliff Jumper in Teletran 1. Because it says during the production of Season 3, Kasem quit the series because of the script for Thief in the Night. Which yep. Kasem, made, you know, Arabic descent, felt was racist, and then,
it is what it is. I'm not gonna say anything on this one since Casey's no longer with us, so.
Yep. So, I mean, it says that, when the third season premiered, Teletran 1 was destroyed by Trypticon.
Yeah.
And it says the moment was sudden without build-up to fans. It looked like an insult. However, none of the actors, producers, or writers involved ever responded to the accusation. It remains a rumor to the day.
Yeah.
There's an R-rated cut of the Transformers 1986 movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it says, because they took advantage of the PG rating and suddenly guns and bombs hurt people and... You know, it says that due to the many edits to the film overseas and alterations made during its initial theater run in America, there exist many different versions. In fact, some fans believe there's an R-rated cut of the movie. Rumored to be filled with more swearing and more violence. Fans used to go to conventions looking for this hallowed but rare copy. It never existed. An alternate version of Magnus's death, in which he was drawn and quartered, was storyboarded but was never filmed because it was too violent. The only rumor that may hold water involves Prime's death. Reportedly, he turned black as he did in the original cut, only to then crumble to dust. This was changed mid-release because kids responded with horrified tears. While again, this has never been confirmed, the track for the scene of the album is 10 seconds longer on the record than it is in the actual movie. No footage of the crumbling has been viewed since the initial screening.
And we all know there were many different script writes for Transformers the movie. Flint Dilley has talked about this at length. There were many different versions, many unfinished versions, and maybe this rated R version was one of those unfinished ones.
Still be interesting.
Yeah.
Number two, the many origins of the Vok. I'm loving every time Beast Wars shows up in here.
There's more than one? Because I've only ever seen them in Beast Wars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they were in some of the continuity of the comics, like for the convention and the club, but nothing else. It says, as great as Beast Wars was, it's surprising to find out how much of it was improvised. The Vok, the mysterious aliens, were responsible for the weirdest events in the show, were... never given a direct origin. Series creators had differing opinions on who the Vok actually were. DiTilio considered them to be the next evolution of the Swarm from Generation 2, which makes sense to me. I should actually go back and look, because I think there was a consciousness to the Swarm, very much like those. I'll have to look. Wanted to make amends for destroying the Earth in the future, so they come back to protect it. It says, while Bob Ford believed them to be the evolutionary endpoint of all sentient life, the Vok themselves appeared in several comic stories after the show ended, adding more to the mystery but never providing answers. We never learned the nature or reason of the tarantula's hatred for the aliens, and were never given a canonical or even a direct answer as to who or what the Vok were meant to be. Guides and magazines like Beast Wars Universe have claimed this swarm origin is canon, though the book is unlicensed and it's based on translated interviews.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to find out, but I think that the swarm thing actually fits it the best.
I guess. Like I said, I have no context outside of Beast Wars itself, so I...
And I'm not doing number one because it's TF4.
Just say what it is and we can move on.
It's
we
about the death of the American dream.
Oh, Lord. Okay, never mind. That's... no. We're currently living the death of the American dream. Oh, sorry. Wrong show.
Who?
I don't know. Talk about trumping the Pence.
You wear depends?
No, I don't.
I think I'm funny sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes that joke just misses the mark.
Hamill?
Oh, God! Alright, so... our good buddy Bondo Mike, he said that his podcast backlog has been severely low lately. Well, you're going to get an explosion of content because I'm syndicating Autobotly April on All Things Transformers next month.
Autobotly, I don't have to do anything and it still shows up.
I know, right? Autobotly April is going to be myself and Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley continuing the More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise / Not Rid comic trade reviews. So when the pullback first started, episode 11, 12, and 13, myself, Liddy, Rec, and Ender talked about the first three trades from More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise from IDW. We got up to 4 and 5 of each of those series for the trades, and we just never, I just kind of lost the interest, whatever else. So we're going to go back to it. It's going to be Ryan and I, Lady Rec, Beatles Diva, and Hahi Prime will still be doing the Windblade stuff until all are one with me at some point. But yeah, next month, all comics all the time here on All Things Transformers. So that's what's going to be coming up. And like Steve said, he doesn't have to do a damn thing.
Nope.
Nope.
But yeah, I'll get some order. Topical and news topics for
I think if you do a news show once a month, it'll be like at the end of every month, like you collect all your stuff that's important and relevant to that you want to talk about.
ATTF roundup.
Yeah, there you go. And obviously, we're still going to do the Origins episodes. I just have to actually start asking people. So that's kind of what's coming up. Shall we get out of here, I guess? I don't know. Anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything we didn't talk about?
Nope.
All right. Transform, transcend, all that good stuff.
Oh, that was the other thing I should mention. You just said it. This popped up on Twitter yesterday, I think. Uh-huh. And this is actually very fitting by what you said. The description for The Last Night. Did you see?
No.
You didn't see it?
Oh, no.
This is gonna be beautiful too. I put this together yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I had people going, no. So I says, just follow me on this. Beast Machines is Transformers The Last Night. Because the description for The Last Night, the key to saving our future lies buried in the secrets of the past. And I said, the seeds of the future lie buried in the past? And it says, no, the key to saving our future lies buried in the secrets of the past. They just put a wordier version of the seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's Beast Machines. Like, they're trying desperately to, like, steal from Beast Machines.
Yeah.
The one that everyone seemingly hated when it came out.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That just sounds like a winner right there.
Uh-huh.
Even though I like the slogan because it holds true. But yeah, I couldn't help it but laugh because of the ridiculousness of the fact that I caught that in the description of the film. It was the one line and it stood out to me and I'm like, huh? What? And I'm like, it does exist. So.
And I know a handful of people, myself included, that love Beast Machines. There's not a lot of us out there, but I do know a handful that love and respect that series.
So, transform and transcend.
That's it.
Yes. Megatron, terrorize.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.